let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. In Albert Kellen's memoir, Living the Miracles, A Sailor's Life in the Nuclear Power Age, he shares his experiences during a unique time in change of American naval history, that of the transition from diesel to nuclear power. Albert's 27 miracles will inspire the reader. The son of German-speaking immigrants left the aftermath of the Depression in Oklahoma to become a naval officer and nuclear propulsion engineer. His years at the U.S. Naval Academy, class of 1952, prepared him for destroyer and diesel submarine developments deployments to North Korea. Surviving several close calls, Albert trained in Admiral Rickover's Nuclear Power School. Each exploratory voyages under the ice to the Arctic Ocean on nuclear submarine USS Skate allowed him to become the first person to have flown over, stood at, and gone under the ice at the North Pole. Albert served in the construction and subsequent operation of four nuclear submarines. Admiral Rickover made him chief engineer of the aircraft carrier Enterprise CVN for its operations in the Mediterranean, its circumnavigation of the world, and shipyard overhaul. The Navy promoted Albert to Rear Admiral 6 years before his peers. After retirement, Admiral Kellen founded the Naval Submarine League and several Christian endeavors, including a pregnancy center. He and his wife, Cecily, live in Texas, continued their teaching ministries. An incredible story about one of the national military heroes of our country. It's a must-read. Admiral Albert Kellen, author of Living the Miracles, A Sailor's Life in the Nuclear Power Age, joins us on This Week in America. Admiral, welcome to the program, sir. It's great to have you with us.
Oh, I'm pleased to be here.
Yes, it is, and I'm looking forward to this conversation, and I will mention that Albert's wife, Cecily, was with us on a recent program. It's sort of a companion book. The book is Becoming the Admiral's Wife, a dual memoir of a called pair, and information on Cecily's book available at our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and their website, which is kellenbooks.com, kellenbooks.com. And we'll go through all of that as we progress during the program. But so much to talk about. Let's start with the background. You were born to a German immigrant family, small farming town, as I mentioned, in western Oklahoma, during the Great Depression of 1929. How is it that you became a submariner out of all of that?
Well, it's quite a story. Times were hard and my birth in 1929, and we had several problems. Nationally, polio was at its peak, and the Dust Bowl was covering states like Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas. And so a lot of people from Oklahoma and elsewhere went to California. But it was a tough time, and I started out as a farm boy, being out on a farm with my sister and their families in harvest. But I heard about the University of Oklahoma, went there, and during one of the off periods, I found a note in a college newspaper about volunteering to go to the Naval Academy or to the Naval Reserve officer training, and I picked the Naval Academy, and the rest is history.
You know, it's amazing. What an honor to be appointed to the U.S. Naval Academy, and you had such an illustrious career there, and then after graduation, talk about that period there, the experiences. You were assigned to submarines. How did that come about, and when in your career did you get that assignment to submarines?
Well, I graduated in the year 1952, and each midshipman in those days had to spend 2 years on a surface a ship, destroyer or a larger ship. And I did that during the Korean War. I picked the submarine Ronquil. I mean, the submarine Ronquil to as a diesel submarine because nuclear power hadn't been invented yet. But I spent a total of 4 deployments during the Korean War, and was selected by Admiral Rickover to be a candidate, one of his 15 students, initial training for all of the Navy. And he interviewed about 50 students. So I felt proud that I was selected.
It's an amazing story being selected by Admiral Rickover. And I want to go back just for a second, because in your book, the book is Living the Miracles, A Sailor's Life in the Nuclear Power Age, a memoir by Al Kellen, our guest on the program, K-E-L-L-N. The book available, and I'll give you all that information wherever as we're going through here. Your submarine positioned off the North Korean coast. Your job was to intercept any land efforts by the Russians. You were landing agents behind the front line. So it's an amazing story that unfolds in the book, Living the Miracles. Let's talk about the selection. You touched on that, nuclear-powered submarines. Boy, this is a brand new area. Talk about your early selection and then transition to nuclear-powered submarines. At that time, I probably scared a lot of people when they heard about nuclear-powered submarines. It was totally new.
Well, it was quite a thrill. I had volunteered and immediately got a response from Washington to fly back in a few weeks to be interviewed, and I was accepted. Historically, the interviews with Admiral Rickover were traumatic at the best, and but my interview with him was very short and peaceful. He asked me one question, who was the local senator from Oklahoma, and I gave him the name, and he said, fine, get out of here. And so I left and headed back to my ship. And about halfway through the flight, the naval aviator got a message and said that I had been approved for nuclear power training by Admiral Rickover. And that began a really career of excitement, of great dedication, of seeing that the Navy was evolving into a mighty new type of capabilities. And I wound up, as you'll probably discuss later, on an aircraft carrier too as the chief engineer. So I went aboard as the operations and the weapons officer on the skate being built at Electric Boat in Connecticut. And from that, it started this saga of exciting experiences.
Well, they certainly were, and they all unfold in Albert's book, Living the Miracles, A Taylor's Sailor's Life in the Nuclear Power Age. Albert Lee Kellen is the author and our guest on the program. Mentioned assigned to the first nuclear-powered attack submarine then under construction, the USS Skate. How did the Skate get involved in the exploration of the icy Arctic Ocean and the North Pole? Because that's an important part of your career and your accomplishments as well. How did that happen that they got involved in the Arctic?
Well, it's really quite a story. The Nautilus, which was the first nuclear-powered submarine, had been detailed to explore the Arctic Ocean. Its first attempt was not successful, but on its second attempt, it was able to get under the ice and successfully and just speed across the Arctic Ocean. But something else was going on. Skate was picked to spend some time up there and to learn the capabilities of being able to surface through the ice cap, which sometimes was 13 feet thick. But we were to evolve and discover and learn about techniques to serve vertically through the ice, which we did many times.
You know, it's so fascinating going in there, and there's so many firsts that you're involved in preparation for this Arctic research. What were your responsibilities? What did you have to do to make sure this was going to be successful?
Well, I was, as the most junior officer on the crew, I was assigned as operations and weapons officer. And I had always doubted of why the sudden interest in the Arctic. And after the Nautilus's experience, it came down that they wanted a submarine to develop those techniques. And so my job was to equip the submarine with an ability to look up instead of looking out. And we had TV cameras on the deck and lights. And in fact, we took a minesweeper's sonar, turned it upside down, placed it on the deck, and we could electronically find the openings in the ice. And so it became quite a task, very, very busy. And at the last minute, it was decided that we should make an overflight to the Arctic. And I was picked. And since I was operations, I was given the camera. I didn't know how to operate it, but anyway, I took it and learned how. And off we went to the North Pole. And that was quite an experience, too.
And you talk about that extensively in Living the Miracles, A Sailor's Life in the Nuclear Power Age by Albert Lee Kellen. That's K-E-L-L-N. KellenBooks.com has his book, his wife Cecily's book as well, and I'll talk about that in a second. Book available, of course, at Amazon, all the usual places. You know, I'm fascinated by the newness of what you're doing. A lot of firsts that you accomplished in your career. What types of new equipment were needed to fulfill your mission? And I'm sure in many cases, you're not trying them out until you're out there doing it for the first time. What kind of new equipment? I think you touched on that with the camera. There was a lot of new equipment involved, wasn't there?
Yes, we had to strengthen the top of the submarine with extra reinforced welding. And just because as the submarine came to the surface vertically, normally when we surface, we are underway at some speed. But to get a direct impact onto the ice, we would stop and then get positive buoyancy and come up vertically. And that was quite a thrill. We had TV cameras, both actually we had four, and looking at spaced along the top of the submarine. And we had extra sonars measuring the distance from the submarine up to the ice edge, and just a load of other things, the recordings. The scientists that we took had a lot of instrumentation too, because they wanted to record this for history. And so that was all my job, to get it done and make the flight and take the photographs of the ice openings, the density and the size. So that was all kind of crowded together in a 1 month's time.
As you were explaining all that, there were a lot of ands in that explanation. When did you find time to sleep? There were so many things going on, so much on your mind. I would think it'd be difficult to, I guess, sheer fatigue would get you to sleep. But there wasn't a lot of resting on this. It wasn't a cruise, was it?
No, it wasn't. It was full of excitement. Behind all of this, we on the crew often wondered why there had been such a high priority early in the life of this ship, of the first attack Navy submarine, nuclear powered. And we often wondered if there was something else that the powers to be might have in mind in sending us up there. We were operational for about 6 months, and so we tried and developed vertical ascent of the submarine, and that was quite touchy at times. And but by the time we got to the Arctic, we were pretty experienced in the operation of everything. We rehearsed and rehearsed and rehearsed.
This is a book you're not going to be able to put down. Once you read one of Al's stories, then it goes on to another one, and suddenly you find yourself staying awake all night reading the book. It's a riveting story. Living the Miracles, A Sailor's Life in the Nuclear Power Age by Albert Lee Kellen, our guest on the program. Let's talk about there was a major communication breakthrough, which not only impacted you, but impacted national defense on a broad scale. Talk about that.
Well, that was so interesting. The first skate that was about half constructed, in the middle of the construction, the powers to be senior people in Washington decided that they were going to put missiles on a type of submarine that could be launched vertical and be a defense against potential enemies. And while that was going on and the decision was made, construction on the first skate stopped, and they laid the keel for the skate number two. And the submarine that was initially skate was renamed the George Washington, and it was the first missile-launching submarine, Polaris-launching submarine, a missile of about 1,500 miles capability. And so the second state was the ship that we were on, and from there it's history. We just had our task to cut out for us, but we knew that something was behind it because of all of the interest of the people in Washington, D.C.
During all of this, there was an antenna system that was partially designed, and you had it installed. It never was really tested at sea, and if it was workable, well, it had a would have a great role to play in the future missile defense. How did that work out? Because you were very active in this as well.
Right. As each morning when I would board the skate, and I would look over at the George Washington, one of the capabilities for being a secure ship and not being able to be found was the fact that the missile submarine would be deep. And so I thought and thought, how could that problem be solved? And I had heard about a young lad in one of the laboratories had probably the same idea, but it was not an official Navy effort at that time. So I got his plans of having a buoyant wire in other words, a copper wire surrounded by buoyant material.
Yes.
That would float to the surface. So I got permission and got the number of feet to that would be satisfactory for testing on skate. It was about 165 feet antenna. And we put it on the ship. I had a lot of things to do to make it waterproof and acoustically and electronically dry. And so we put it on. I had it put on the ship. And our second time in the Arctic, our second surfacing, still pretty much at the edge of the Arctic ice. We had a vertical surfacing. It was kind of a rehearsal. and the radioman had left the antenna connected to the radio. And as we approached 100 feet going up vertically, the speaker on the radio just blared out, and we got the Navy broadcast loud and clear. And so my interest and efforts, the Navy's problem on becoming completely secure in the water as opposed to airplanes or other launch silos, this became a very secret, unknown, located carrier of nuclear missiles. And it was a great capability against the efforts of the Soviets at that time.
Yeah, what an accomplishment that you were involved in. The book is Living the Miracles, A Sailor's Life in the Nuclear Power Age by Albert Lee Kellen, K-E-L-L-N. Give you the information as we go. And his wife's book as well. We talked with Cecily, previous program, and you'll find that. Just Google it, you'll find it. Go to our website, you'll find it there as well. Boy, time is going by so quickly. I wanted to, this wasn't like you were there sitting in an office on the submarine coming up with all these plans. You were active in the book Living the Miracles. I saw a photo of you suspended in the air on a big pole. Explain what that was all about.
Well, that was our main antenna that we could raise at periscope depth and communicate with the world. And coming up on maybe our fifth or sixth surfacing, a big clump of ice had lodged itself in the upper part of the top of the submarine, the sail, where the antenna was. And when the antenna was raised to communicate, it got the antenna severely bent and became unusable. And so we discovered that when we finally got to the surface and got the ice off the top of the sail. And the skipper announced to me that it, as operations officer, that was in my equipment, and that somebody had to fix it.
You know, keep in mind,
obvious that I knew the
yes,
the construction and how it was assembled, and so I said, "I'll do it, Captain. I know what to do."
And you did it. You did it well. Keep in mind that the temperature outside was 26 degrees below zero. You had to be suspended 45 feet above the ice. At times had to remove your gloves and use your bare fingers. Did you ever thaw out from that? I mean, that had to be brutally cold.
It really was. And as you said, at times I had to take off my gloves to get small parts lined and so forth. And I got a severe case frostbite. That's it. And so when I finished, I came back down, and it was fine for about 3 or 4 minutes when the warmth of the submarine was warming up my hands. And I've never had such severe pain in my hands and in my feet to be frozen at minus 26.
That's amazing.
And today, at the age of 91, I wear socks of a special type over my feet, and I take care of my hands because I still have the pain from that experience.
That is amazing. Our guest in the program is Albert Lee Kellen, Living the Miracles, A Sailor's Life in the Nuclear Power Age. The topic of the book, this is his experiences during a rather unique, a totally unique time of change in American naval history, the transition from diesel to nuclear power. The book is fascinating. Mention the ice. How often did you actually surface in ice?
Well, And on that particular journey, we surfaced, I think it was 8 or 9 times. And in a subsequent journey to the Arctic, which was 6 months later in the dead of winter, we did those surfacings again, just to see if, for planning purposes, if our submarines could operate in the Arctic in the winter time. And we could. It took other techniques, but we solved those. And so we had a weapon that the submarines, the missile submarines, could operate in the Arctic if we wanted to. And the advantage of that would be that Russians had very little anti-missile defense based around the Arctic, and this would be a great help for the defense and the peace of the between nations with that type of
Yes.
capability by the United States.
With all of your accomplishments, with all of the situations in the Arctic that you lived through, is there one that's the most memorable to you that really stands out and one that will forever be etched in your memory?
Well, they were all quite,
I can imagine, yes.
I guess I'll pass on that one.
Yeah, there is so much. It was unfair to ask you out of everything that you have done, and I mentioned at the beginning, I'm just going to take one of these here to be the first man to fly over the ice. We're talking about the Arctic, the North Pole, go under the ice and stand on the ice at the North Pole. One of the many accomplishments by Admiral Kellen, the book "Living the Miracles," available on their website, kellenbooks.com, and Kellen is Kellen books.com. I mentioned in the beginning the submarines. How many new submarines did you build and operate? Because you were on the ground floor of all of this.
Yes, I was on the first attack submarine, nuclear powered skate, and then subsequently, after my tour on the skate, I helped build the Shark, and the Shark was also an attack submarine, and from there I was detailed to be the executive officer of a missile submarine. And just a week before we loaded the new reactor during construction, Admiral Rickover gave me a call one Friday night and told me to report to, as chief engineer of the world's largest nuclear powered ship, the USS Enterprise. And I tried to talk myself out of that job, but he was not to be toyed with. He had to, because I had tremendous experience in the shipyard, and the shipyard, frankly, really respected me and my technical knowledge. And so I took the Enterprise through a Mediterranean deployment, and then we joined together with a nuclear powered two surface ships, the Bainbridge and the Long Beach. And we went around the world on nuclear power. And then I took the Enterprise through its first refueling and overhaul. And the normal aircraft carrier overhaul is about 2 to 3 years. But I had such acquaintances, and frankly, the shipyard, I think, was a little bit afraid of me. And I got the ship out in 11 months and a half, fully refueled and completely
Just amazing.
updated. So that was a real experience for a submariner. The thing that was startling was that I was the most junior officer as head of department, and the executive officer, the first night that he met with all of the officers, gave me his authority that whatever I said as chief engineer came from him, and his 4 stars. And so he was of captain rank. And and so here I am, a young submariner with kind of dirty, greasy clothes, being in charge of the overhaul.
Just one point, there's so many very compelling stories in the Admiral's book, Living the Miracles, A Sailor's Life in the Nuclear Power Age. A few minutes left in the program. I want to touch on a special visitor you had when you're on the skate, a summer trip to the North Pole. You get an eyes-only message, and a very important dignitary ended up visiting you. Briefly, tell us about that story, that interaction.
Well, that was quite a thrill, and then very unusual. We were, after our first voyage to the Arctic, we'd been back. We'd had a ticker tape parade in Boston on our return, and then we had a rest period. And we were back at sea, just weekly exercise. And we had orders, secret orders, to report to the port in, at highest speed to embark a visitor. And we did that at best speed and pulled up to the pier, which is normally occupied by couple of thousand people on a submarine tender in 4 or 5 submarines, and there was not a person in sight. I'd never seen anything so scary. There wasn't anything to be seen, but we came in tied up, and the gate at the end of the pier opened, and 3 black cars came down, and the Secret Service got around the edge of the middle car, and the visitor got out, came aboard the submarine. They left all of his guards and security on the pier, and saluted the flag, came aboard, and said he was ready to get underway. And the person was John Eisenhower, the president's son. And he explained to us that his dad had 2 massive bills on his desk, and he was very much in doubt as to the practicality of them. And that was to, one of which was to put 2 or 3 men at the end of a missile and fire it off in space and have facilities to return to Earth. And it was hard for the officials in Washington, and including the president, that you could stuff 3 guys in a tin can, fire them off to space for 1 or 2 weeks, and get them back safely. But the president had heard that the submariners were doing that by the weeks instead of not only yes. the days, but what we would be under out of the Earth's atmosphere for weeks, because we made our own oxygen and purified our own air. And that was done. And the other concern that he had was that the Arctic was the soft underbelly of Russia. And if we could operate up there and have our missile submarines up there, we could really, really have an advantage over their capabilities. And he couldn't believe that a submarine could stay submerged for 60 days or 30 days. It's just something in the Army he hadn't learned. And so we, after 3 days aboard, he talked to every man, officer and junior crewman. And before he left, he told us about his father had these 2 bills on his desk, and he wasn't that free to tell me what the results would be, but he was most impressed. Suffice it to say, a week later, the president signed the bill approving NASA, yes. NASA, and he also approved the bill for upgrading our submarine force to operate in the Arctic and wanted us to be very familiar with the operations and to go up as soon as we could to confirm our capability. So that was all kind of a thrill.
Once again, and, sort of at the ground level of all of this, talking about the visit, the NASA connection there, Living the Miracles, A Sailor's Life in the Nuclear Power Age by Albert Lee Kellen. I've got a couple minutes left in the program. Admiral, is there anything that I haven't covered that that you should mention on the program? And tell us about you're involved in some very important work, once again, still to this day. Anything that you'd like to mention here at the end of the program?
Well, as a senior officer in the Navy, I was promoted early, 6 years early than my classmates were, to flag officer rank, to admiral rank. And that was quite a wonderful experience. The other thing that I did, I was the number two guy in the Department of Defense intelligence agency, and that I was involved in the missile, the anti-missile defense of the United States, to give us a better capability. And then I retired after 28 years of service. And I started an organization called the Naval Submarine League, which is in effect today. And Navy submariners from all over the world, but primarily the United States, do that as a method of educating the public and keeping all of the submariners involved in the latest needs for the defense of our country, the protection of our country. After I retired, after 2 years, my focus went towards serving the Lord and doing Christian work. And my wife and I had in our last, and we're still doing it, have a Christian efforts, the one of which was started one of the early healing rooms, prayer healing rooms in the country. And the final one was that my wife and I started a protection of pregnancy center. And it's still in operation today, and we're saving young lives by the hundreds. And so our service is for the Lord and for anyone that needs help.
So you are still quite busy in everything that you're doing. And keep in mind, the Admiral was approaching 90 when he decided to write the book, Living the Miracles, inspire other people, with his wife, Cecily, working in the healing prayer room. He mentioned a Christian pregnancy center for young mothers. They give classes to educate groups and biblical end time Christian events. It's such a remarkable life that just keeps on giving back to this country. The book is Living the Miracles, A Sailor's Life in the Nuclear Power Age by Albert Lee Kellen. The book I mentioned from his wife, her story, Becoming the Admiral's Wife, a dual memoir of a called pair, a fascinating approach to the book, incorporating elements of her life when she met the Admiral. That book is available. Cecily Watson Kellen is the author's name. That book available again at kellenbooks.com, at Amazon, the usual places. Published by Pro Isle Publishing. All of this information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Kellen Books is K-E-L-L-N books.com. So much there, a fascinating read, both of these books. This one in particular, we're talking about Living the Miracles. Admiral, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you so much for sharing a remarkable career that keeps on giving back to society. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Could I just interrupt and say The book, we've enumerated them, contains 27 miracles.
Yes.
That's what the book was named after. And it's such a pleasure to serve a country and to see this country develop into a bastion of love and Christian endeavors and peace.
We mentioned maybe some of the miracles, touched on them, at least 27 miracles in the Admiral's life that he talks about extensively in the book, and that's the main title, Living the Miracles, A Sailor's Life in the Nuclear Power Age. Sir, thank you so much for joining us on the program. Loved having a chance to have you. So just touch briefly on your career. What a career. Thank you for sharing your story with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
It has been our pleasure. And once again, the name of the book is Living the Miracles, A Sailor's Life in the Nuclear Power Age. The author is Albert Lee Kellen, K-E-L-L-N. The website, kellenbooks.com. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.